It's Monday, November 13th, 2023, and I'm Dave Sobel. One thing to know today. Today's episode was recorded last week at ConnectWise's IT Nation and is a timely review of the current state of the mergers and acquisitions market for MSPs with Abraham Garver, Managing Director at Focus Investment Banking. We discuss the current state of the market, and Abe gives some timely insights into current conditions. I wanted you to have this information right away. This is the Business of Tech.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dave Sobel here with another bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I'm back with Abraham Garver of Focus Investments. He is a return frequent flyer here because we love getting insights into the market dynamics. Abe, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely, Dave. I always enjoy our conversations. I love it.
I always look forward to this because you've got really great insights into what's going on, particularly with the M&A market and the growth of some of the larger MSPs. Yes. So give me a quick high level. It's November 2023. What are we seeing right now in the market?
Yeah, and I'll start with, as background, we have been the catalyst for and advised on MSP transactions with 74 parties over the past 4 years. So we really have a nice perspective, kind of like leading into being able to answer that question. It is the market is definitely changing, and I really appreciate I think it's great to never have bubbles. I prefer for there to be an efficient market kind of working at all times. And I would describe the current market as we have 150 private equity groups with $13.2 billion of committed capital. 75 of those, actually 76 as of this week, don't have an MSP platform investment and they want to make a first-time platform investment. And then we have 75 private equity-backed platforms that have private equity money and want to be doing add-ons. So we have 150 very sophisticated buyers with $13 billion ready to write checks. And that group, I would tell you, over the past 6 months, 9 months, this year, they're watching interest rates go up 5%. But it has not hurt demand. It hasn't hurt demand because they have $13 billion that they can stroke a check. At some point, they'll get leverage and they'll, kind of add that to increase the investment returns. But right now, in the lower end of the market, that I would say would be 7 million of EBITDA and below, it really hasn't hurt valuations. But that's changing. And it's just changing as of the past week to 10 days. Even as of this morning, we got a data point. One of the facilitators in the Evolve IT Nation and their 600 peer groups, one of the facilitators sent an email to a group of us that kind of listened to his comments. And he said, in my group, 3/4 of the people in my group are reporting that they're not going to hit their revenue and EBITDA budgets for the year. It kind of sounds funny, it kind of gives me the chills. Like it's a view into what may be to come. And what that means, when I hear that, what it means is inevitably the valuation, even though the market is kind of behaving differently with all this capital chasing it, inevitably when revenue and EBITDA goes down, the valuation's going to go down. So I'm concerned, even in the midst of way too much money chasing these like houses in a high good public school district neighborhood, I'm concerned that multiple factors are now, and I've never said this until actually today and the first time on a call, I'm concerned that valuations may be coming down.
So what is that? What would that look like? Like, just, and obviously it's crystal ball, and I know that, yeah. but give me a sense of what the range is now and what it might look like with an increased interest rate pressure.
Yeah. So 15 of EBITDA, which is kind of what the first, you know, kind of private equity group is working towards, has traded pretty routinely at 15 times EBITDA. So if I bring $15 million to market, I'm going to get 15x for it. And so at the top, you know, in the larger side of the market, what that means is that if I bring 15 of EBITDA, I'm probably, maybe I'm coming down as much as definitely a turn and maybe two turns down. And then that has a cascading effect down to the market from 750K of EBITDA all the way up to 6 million of EBITDA. If those building, if I can't sell this later at 15x, it really puts, the first impact is felt here at 15 because of interest rates. The second impact is felt where a lot more of the transactions happen, which is kind of 750K to 6 million of EBITDA. There's more, the PE buyers will say, well, I don't know I'm going to be able to get, like the Thrive transaction that kicked off a lot of this was a 20 million of EBITDA was brought to market and they got 17.8x. And the return to the private equity group was 5.25 times cash. And that really, you know, that helped create a stampede of private equity groups that said, I want 5x, I want 5x, I want 5x. And so there could be a there could be a retracement where there's now, interest rates didn't really hurt us. I do think they hurt us at the 7-8 million above. But now if our underlying businesses, because all the customers, interest rates went up 5%, they hurt all the customers that we've got in these vertical agnostic MSPs. And they now sitting here being the MSP, my business is worth less because my customers are hurting. And until my customers aren't hurting, my valuation's probably going down. So I feel like we're in, you know, it's like developing daily. Like this email came out yesterday morning's email.
So I want to, let's layer in something else on there to try and make prediction, because one of the trends, I know we've talked about this a little bit, is the, what I'm calling the narrowing middle, right? So particularly with all of the investment that we've seen, private equity backed MSPs, according to the newest service leadership data that came out, are outperforming the average MSP. And that's a nice change for those that have invested. And that's also creating a lot of these growth accelerating, I hesitate to use large, but let's call them substantial platform MSPs.
Yeah.
And then we also have the large population of the typical MSP that I always talk about, the sub $10 million in revenue, the sub $5 million in revenue being the bulk of that. There's a growing gap in the middle of the ones that have not, you know, hit light speed. And that also means there's less for the platforms to buy. Is that continuing? Is that going to change a little bit based on the dynamic of what we're seeing with interest rates? What are you seeing in that middle band about what's available on the market?
And part of the reason there's not, you're exactly right, part of the reason there's not a lot in the middle of the market is, like, many in 2020 when a number of platforms were put in, they're now, they might have started at 3 million of EBITDA and they're now at 10. 3 years later, they're at 10 and the owner is saying, we're killing it. We've been buying our multiple down by doing these add-ons. Everything is really starting to work. This is, we're minting money. One platform owner told me, Abe, I think if we can wait another 18 months, we can add another 70 million of value. And so, like, there's basically these investors and the MSP platforms are seeing things are going really well. They don't want to get out, so they're causing the scarcity of assets because they're kind of in between the trade. And they need to be held 3 years by a private equity group for the private equity group to get better tax treatment on what's called their carried interest. In the same way you and I get capital, long-term capital gains after 1 year. The private equity group gets better capital gains after three. So that's also kind of keeping it there. I'm going to flag, and this may be for those of you that are in the market with these larger assets, this may be one of the most important things I say. These larger assets that are, it would appear from service leadership that they're doing great, but I will tell you that in conversations with businesses that were considering to be platforms and add-ons, I hear a lot. In fact, in one situation I know of, I've heard four different MSPs in different parts of the country say, this company, I'm getting ready to take two or three of their customers. This same company, and I hear, I didn't ask, not out there asking, but if I hear three or four people saying, oh yeah, that company, that PE-backed platform, I'm about to get this, and so there is a huge risk when those go to sell, if they've had employee churn and customer churn, they might be right on the doorstep of a transaction, and I know one trying to do that. And when they, at the very end of this long process, they're gonna be customer calls. And if this is right, and this platform is gonna have 10 massive customers defect right around this time, there's some potentially, we haven't seen the end of this movie, is I guess what I would, what I would say.
Well, a bit of a cliffhanger. I want to ask, because you've done some real work in getting insights into the MSPs that are out there and the ones that are available and the buying. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with MSP Market Maker.
Yes, thanks. So MSP Market Maker, this is, our experience on the line with all these, front line with all these transactions, we said, in the same way we kind of started out with MSP 501 list, the CRN 500 list, and everybody copies and pastes and figure out how do I contact the owner? And to help facilitate a more efficient market, more efficient M&A market, our team sat back and, just kind of said, what could we do to really help the community? And this came from, we do lunch and learns for IT Nation Evolve. And in every lunch and learn I go into, I'll give the 12 people, the peer group members, an Excel spreadsheet of these are targets and email addresses and names you can call in, sort by state. And these are people you should get to know. Maybe invite them to an Evolve meeting. Don't necessarily call them and say, hey, I wanna buy you, but be a little, little more tact. From that, we decided, and it's cascaded into, we've spent about $500,000 of our own money, if you can believe it, on a suite of technology tools, MSP Market Maker, to help make it more, the whole process of M&A for MSPs more efficient.
And so are people self-registering? How's the information getting into the database?
So we've had a pre-registration period, and what are we up to on registrations? 374 MSPs and private equity groups have pre-registered. As we've had the pre-registration open, as we've been building the platform, and we're going to officially launch it here at IT Nation in a M&A mixer at 5:30 tomorrow evening, and kind of it'll be live. Just incredible tool. And I think we have done some stuff to be able to show your audience what it looks like in kind of, even a brief demo.
So are listeners able to sort of sign up and register information if they're interested in selling? Who are the kinds of people that should go visit the site?
Yes, so this, we have different functionality. So one part is called MSP Radar. And MSP Radar lets you look in depth at 4,600 MSPs globally. So Europe, kind of Australia, and you can search by number of employees and a lot of other key, like when the business was founded. So if I want one that's operationally mature, I may go back 15 years or more. So users can find targets to help, perhaps add to their M&A pipeline, do a merger of equal. And then a second, you know, huge part of the functionality is that 13.4 of private equity money is all mapped. So all of our, you know, inside baseball on who is out there ready to put money to work is in MSP Market Maker. It's called Capital Compass, is that portion.
So if we're thinking about those PE investors, and you said there's a lot out there that are trying to build platforms, like, give me a little bit of a sense of what they're shopping for, and kind of what the kinds of, and how they're looking at MSPs in terms of making decisions about where they want to put their capital.
Great question. So they're looking for it's all a function of the size of the fund. So it's almost like if you think of somebody buying a home, it's going to be a function of how much money they take home. These funds are, in general, 500 million, a billion, a billion five, and largest one about 4 billion that we're working with. And the 4 billion fund can't buy a 2.5 million EBITDA MSP platform. They really need, call it 15 million minimum, maybe 20, 25 million. And so it's all a function of the buyer. Like, the buyer is going to make 10 platform investments per fund. So however much they raise, divide it by 10, and they got to deploy that into, and that's going to determine, we then back into how big of an asset they need to buy. And if there are no assets that, like, one of our buy-side clients wants 25 million of EBITDA, and there's only five or six of those, so we then go get a 15 and a 10, do a merger of equal, and voila, they have their 25. And so that same thing is happening in, I would say, the most demand is for 5 to 6 of EBITDA for a new platform, and they don't exist, so we have to do a merger of equal, simultaneous merge and close. They don't need to be integrated. We show up with both assets. They've usually been in the same peer group. So there's a cultural fit, tech stack fit, strategic fit, and that meets the private equity group is, they're high-fiving themselves because they're like, finally an asset they've been trying over and over and they don't exist. So we have to create them.
That's an interesting subtlety. So tell me a little bit about, like, the kinds of creations that you can do, because a lot of people might say, well, I'm not five million in EBITDA, but what you've just sort of said is, well, you can put, you know, pieces together a bit like Legos, right? And assemble a bit. Talk to me about the kinds of assembly that you can do.
I think one of the coolest ones we did was called Project Top Gun, that was announced in February. And it was, we called it Maverick and Goose, were the two parts. And Maverick and Top Gun because one of the founder CEOs is a private pilot. And Maverick had done M&A and grew through M&A and integration. And then Goose had grown 100% organically, never done any M&A. So basically, same peer group, 4 years, we got the new investor got a founder CEO who's great at M&A and integration and a founder CEO who's great at organic. And so put together, you know, the business was almost 6 million of EBITDA and, you know, wouldn't have been close to that. One or the other by themselves, not a standout, but when assembled together like that in the same peer group, it was highly competitive. And it was a Riverside that did Logically One. It was a $1.7 billion new fund and, you know, off to the races.
So if an MSP owner is listening right now, what would you sort of tell them, you know, hey, I'm starting to think about selling, doing some more, or want to grow the business. What would be the one thing you want to tell them right now about what's going on?
I would say you want to get into the market once with one real buyer, and I just got off a call and they've been building for 20 years and they've never come into the market. And it's like, well, how do you know what you're building? And they're kind of saying to me, well, we think we're going to go another half year or year, and we still have this to do and that to do. And it's like, for what? Is there even a buyer that wants to buy that? So I think the faster everybody, even from the start, gets into what are the buyers looking for, and then you can build to what, like, how can you it's like shooting basketballs with, you know, with blindfold on. I think you have to understand who you're building for and what they want. And the faster you understand that, then you know how to map out and grow your business. That would be my advice, is like, get into a situation, and that can look like a lot of different things. It could be to get connected with one of the historically lowest bidders in the market, and let them make you an offer and kind of tell you what you like and what you don't. Or it could be to talk to a more reasonable buyer that might be in the middle, or it could be to run an auction process and say, here's a whole bunch of different options. But I think getting to if at some point the goal is to sell, you got to talk to the buyers.
Abe, it's great advice, because you always have to remember, companies are bought,
yes,
not sold.
Not sold.
And oftentimes we have to remember that. Well, I really appreciate you joining me.
I love
me.
Hanging out with you, Dave. I love talking. It's always fun.
Well, me too. Abe, thanks for joining me today. It's been great fun.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening. Today, National Hug a Musician Day, which seems awful specific to me. We'll be back tomorrow with our daily news format. The Business of Tech is written by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. This episode was edited and produced by Picture This Video. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button and follow and subscribe. It's the free and easy way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio, or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Thanks for listening today, and I will talk to you again on the next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.